All right, we're going to get into probably this is an addition to my Level Up Wednesday morning. If you haven't seen it, it's tied to walking in the Spirit. And it's probably one of the most misunderstood, or people don't really have a thought on it either way, or it's very religiously taught. And it's so important, so valuable, because there's no other scripture that gives you the ability to defeat the old nature, that flesh, the lust, all the things that we battle and fight against. This one scripture, walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So, I mean, you have one scripture telling you, do this and you won't do that. And the won't do that is a problem in our life, right? Isn't that the issue we're always dealing with? That I shouldn't be doing that. And here God's saying, do this, and you won't do that. And it's amazing, even though that scripture is in there, even though that statement's there, it's not even something that people are even focusing in on. And we're all wanting help. We're all wanting to stop doing this. We're all wanting to change, and we're all wanting to overcome, and we want to stop this guilt and stop. We all want that. And then we have Galatians 5:16 sitting right there, right before everybody, right before everybody that owns a Bible in every church around the world. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I mean, isn't that amazing? I mean, here we are wanting all kinds of answers and truths and steps, and this one right here is telling you. And that's a problem, because how do you define that? And if we don't define it the way the Bible teaches it, then we're not doing the way it was spoken. And that's the key, because God isn't going to change his word for our feeling or opinion or our lack of understanding. His word is his word. One plus one equals two. It doesn't change because you don't get it. Well, I don't get it. Okay, we'll change it. Do you understand that? I mean, it's pretty simple, right? And so what happens is the creation of things, or the ideology built behind a picture of walking in the Spirit, creates, I believe, division. It creates a separation. How do I know that? Because that's why I felt, and that's why I believe, because I wasn't instructed correctly. Now, I was taught in a way, not in a bold print information, you're not a spiritual me. You don't pray enough, you don't read enough. I'm more spiritual, I'm called, I'm gifted, I'm a pastor, I'm an apostle, I'm a prophet, I'm this, I'm that. I lead worship and look at me dance before everybody in the Spirit. All crazy wacko stuff. And that's how I felt for years. I thought, how can I walk like that person? How can I be like that person? And Galatians 5:16 never said, be like this person. Make sure you're gifted. Make sure you're anointed. Make sure you know how to prophesy. Make sure you know how to speak in tongues. Make sure you've been baptized 28 times. There's so many different ideologies on it, and it's so simple. Simple. Walking in the Spirit is what you do, not in the Spirit, but what you do since you've been born. It's called living life. It is the same Greek word, living life. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, again, in the Level Up, I went more detailed in a lot of information, but just in a synopsis of it, the Greek word peripatuo is the picture of what we do in life right now. Okay, so we're born on this earth, and the moment we're born, we're now receptors. We just receive information, okay? Babies is who we were, some are still, but anyway, and we grow or peripatuo in this life. And what that means is that every, no, when you were in elementary school, you're not the same as you walk today. In other words, live life. Why? You don't dream like you used to dream. You don't imagine like you used to imagine. Now, what do we say? Do we go to the, you know, the 4, 5, 6, 7-year-olds, stop that nonsense. Don't do that. Don't be that way. Don't think that way. Stop it. Grow up. Do we do that ever? No. How come? Because we know at that age, they're at this place where they don't have interference like we do. See, they haven't told that's crazy thought. You'll never become that. That's impossible. They're not taught that because they're children, right? Could you imagine a parent talking that way? You know, a 6-year-old going, you know, I want to be a doctor. And the parents go, your family doesn't even graduate from high school. It ain't going to happen. Could you imagine that? You know, that happens. People are always inputting the negative. And the sad thing about it is that's what that Greek word is we're inputting information. And in the picture of it, it's a compound of two words. So what it's showing you, it's walking and around. It's consistent walking or a life of how you live your life, your behavior. Patuo is the path where it's a well-worn. It's well-worn. So when it says walk in the Spirit, think about this. It's focus in on the reciprocal of natural life. Everybody in here, peripatuo, your life. You lived, you're believing a certain way. You speak a certain way. You have opinions, your feelings. It's all a certain way based upon how you've been living your life, this pathway you've been walking over and over and over and over, and you walk it over and over. You're living this life, and it's the way we're supposed to, because God doesn't want us waking up in the morning going, how do I walk again? How do I speak? It's in our conscience. It's back, it's in there because it's been put in there over and over and over, and our brains have received this information. We don't have second thoughts on majority of how we're living life. When we find a behavior we don't like, it's because of negative circumstances. It's something that has been rejected, or we know it hurts us, but everything else is still connected in how you live your life. So all of a sudden you see that, and you're like going, I want to change that. Does it come easy? No way. It can come easy. Why? Because peripatuo has been involved, where you've pretty much dug this rut, and not saying your life's a rut, but it's how you live. So when you look at that in the natural, then it says walk in the Spirit. Well, how many can see that now and say, oh, that'll happen today. I'll get it done right now. That doesn't work that way, right? So how is this, what is this telling me? It's telling me that the moment I receive Jesus, this is what's sad. See, I didn't know this. I mean, I went years of no understanding of this at all. I went years of no understanding of who I truly was according to the New Testament instruction, the new creation, new identity. I didn't go through any of that. For years, I went 2 years of Bible college, didn't have a clue about this stuff. So I'm going through my whole journey, years and years, and I'm serving God, and I'm also in leadership, and still don't understand majority of the New Testament because I define it or have perspective through the non-teaching of the things that are majority what Paul teaches. Now they teach it, they'll talk about it, but not in the way that we have to receive it scripturally. It's pretty much, you know, it's like, you should know this. It's sad. The moment I was able to be taught, and this is, listen, God didn't give up on me. God didn't quit on me. God didn't say, you know, you don't know, so I'm not going to really lead you in your life. No, I'm on my journey. I'm still on my journey. And as I was going through this journey, my heart is, whatever you want, Jesus, I'll do. Doesn't matter. I'll do whatever you want. And because my heart was open, I'm open to hear. I'm open to receive. Ultimately, I got directed to go to, leave the state I was in, go to another state, and that church was teaching what Paul taught, the new creation. And it just continued to blossom from there. From that point, it answered majority of all the questions I had of my own walk. From that information, I wasn't questioning, am I saved? From that information, I wasn't thinking I'm going to get kicked out of heaven or God isn't going to like me anymore or God is mad at me and he's just disgusted. Or no, from that information, it settled in my heart all the things that Scripture teaches that should be. So only then could I start walking in this new creation, new image. Behold, all things become new. Old has gone away. Walk in the Spirit, not walk in the flesh. Put off the old man, put on the new man. I mean, I'm telling you, majority of the New Testament is talking about the new creation. Why? Because God's wanting you to grow up into his word, his family. And that word puts on the behavior of his family. It's not religious. It's not super spiritual. It's normal. You can't find in Scripture, and even in the action of people that hated Jesus, you can't find a picture of Jesus as being some super spiritual wacko or religious. They couldn't stand him. Why? Because he was almost like normal, but God. He laughed. He cried, he slept, he hungered, he ministered to people that were outcasts. He didn't dictate that, you know, hey, I'm going to talk to you guys today, but you're going to make sure, keep your drinks aside, keep this away, don't do this. You know, he went straight up to where they were, sat down with them. That's why they said he is a drunkard and a glutton. Now, how can you be called that? I'm sure some of you have had that tag before. I mean, it was true, but I'm talking about Jesus. It wasn't true. He's talked about because of association. That's how the nature works. That's how people work. You hang around them, you're that way. Now, we know he wasn't a glutton. That's sin. We know he wasn't a drunkard. That's sin. But why would they say that? Because he would be around people like that. And they understood that if you're around people like that, you are people like that. Well, Jesus wasn't. Of course not. But what we do see is we see a God that was so, we see Jesus representing the Father in a way that people ran to him, not run away. People were trying to get to him, not run away. The only people that that hated him and wanted him dead were the religious people, not the regular people, religious people. So that picture of Jesus who walked in the Spirit and did not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, his place was never where we're at because we have a sin nature. He didn't have a sin nature, so he was tempted, but he did not fall to temptation. But the temptation was still a pull to try to get him off of his call and ministry. Bible says he was tempted in every way that we're tempted, but did not sin. We are born in it. Do you understand this? It's not about did you sin? When did you sin? It's about you're born with the nature of sin. Do you guys follow me on that? That's so key because all through our lives and all through Scripture, it isn't talking about what you're doing. It's talking about who you are, your nature. An apple tree produces apple because of its nature. It can't do anything else but produce apples because of nature. When you're born on this earth, you can't do anything but sin. It's your nature. It's not about choice. It's about you do what you do. It's your nature to do it. And that's what Jesus came to take care of, the nature of sin, the sin nature. Not your sins, the sin nature. You cannot have a new life unless you have a new nature. And that's why when you become born again, the same in the natural as being born on this earth. Being born on this earth, you have a nature of Adam and Eve, the fall. Being born again, you have a nature as Jesus. Do you guys hear this? So now you understand when it comes down to who I am spiritually, what I've become born again to spiritually, who God is one with spiritually. This is all in the spirit. Now the word of God is saying, walk in that spirit. Well, I mean, how do you do that? I mean, really, how do you? All right, get out, spirit, do it. Do your thing, spirit. Because we're a three-part being. We live in a body, right? This is the house or the place where the nature resides in. Then we have a soul, mind, will, emotion, that connection with people. And we are a spirit. So that's born again. That's perfect. That's one with God. Your choices, your decision of life are your soul. The soul is the middle ground. It's the one that's waiting to see who's in charge. Your nature, which we are now new creations, but we have a trained nature that's still there. My new nature is I'm one with God. I'm not part of the Adam and Eve fall anymore. I'm a new creation. I'm born again. But that old nature keeps wanting to pull me in a different direction so that I stay peripatuo in that old way. But the Bible wasn't written in parts where, okay, finish level one and they're going to bring, we'll bring you the next book. It's one Bible. And the one Bible teaches clearly that once you're born again, you have to start renewing your mind or taking in information, instruction. Why is that so difficult with church people? Because they lose common sense. Religion is the most destructive force on planet Earth, religion. And in that, it consistently robs truth based upon men's goofiness. But when you simplify the message, which you know what we say here, spiritual truths always have a natural truth application. There's going to be the same application. So whatever happens here naturally, if it's a natural truth, it happens the same in Iraq or Africa because it's a natural truth. Everybody learns the same way. Different language doesn't matter. Everybody learns the same way, correct? Okay. Everybody eats, you know, we have certain natural principles that everybody's the same. That comes to the spiritual side first. Spiritual, then natural. But everything's the same. They don't learn a different 1 + 1 = 2. It's the same. It's a spiritual truth. They don't learn a different way of gravity. No, gravity is the same. It's a natural principle. It doesn't change. It is a truth that is unchangeable. So when you start looking at these things, you start realizing, okay, then this doesn't make it rocket science. It doesn't make it difficult. It simplifies it. That's why Jesus would communicate these, what we perceive in the word, because he says so, deep spiritual truths, and he talks about a farmer. The only reason why we get it is because he brought along a parable That's what a parabole is in the Greek. It's bringing alongside a picture so you can understand something. And so he talks about planting seed. That's a very, very important message for every person to understand. Because if you're not receiving the seed, words or seeds, and you can't get it into good ground, you won't produce. And that's why things get robbed from you from information. But this Bible's filled with this kind of stuff. It's common sense. But when you look at the common sense nature to spiritual truth, you start getting it. See, it took me a period of time to grow to who I was in the natural. Good or bad doesn't matter. It took me a period of time. Information. That information, as I grew up, was defined by me as truth or non-truth. In other words, I either believe it or I don't believe it. It doesn't matter if it's true or not. It matters, do I believe it? And everything that swayed me or dictated to me on how I was brought up is influencing me in how I believe. It's so bad, isn't it? Because I don't know. I've never known anyone who was brought up perfect, you know, or brought up in a home where everybody's perfect. I've never seen it, never heard of it. Have you guys? No. So we all raise messed up, right? Some more than others. Turn to your neighbor and say he's talking to you. All right. But do you understand what I'm saying? So what happens is when you start looking at this correctly, we can move into spiritual things with the understanding necessary to start doing it. But if we don't get it right away, I should have gotten this when I first got saved. I should have started being taught of, this is who I am. I'm born again. I'm a new creation. I'm one with Jesus. I was crucified with him. I died with him. I rose again with him. And all these truths that are spoken to me get my identification. Just like a baby. Baby doesn't taught math right away. It's taught love. It's taught acceptance. It's taught, don't worry about anything. We got you. Is that the first beliefs you learn in church? No. You learn works. Are you praying enough? Are you reading enough? Are you doing enough? Are you coming to church enough? I mean, it's just la, 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 la. Those things are good, but what I'm saying is it's so messed up because that's not how we naturally grow. So we have to hear the necessary way we need to hear. We get into church, we want everybody the same. I learned that years ago in as being a pastor, me personally, I learned that I can't teach this certain way. I've got to make sure I'm communicating in a way that everybody can connect and get involved with what I'm teaching. And what I determine is I got to get out of the way and let the Holy Spirit do it. So I rely 100% on his ability in this gift, me, in the gift he gave me. Now, Holy Spirit's not talking, I'm talking. So don't weird out on me. Hold on, the Holy Spirit's getting involved. Okay. What I'm saying is I'm following through with the principles and the information through the study, years and years and years of study, and relaying it in a way from my heart, what I believe is from God in my desire as kids, believers in this family, to grow up and become successful in every area of your life. That takes time. But the easier I can bring it in a way where you can click and engage with it, the quicker you'll be able to get hold of it. Remember what we taught, we showed principles. And I'll talk about principles in the natural ways of defeating bad habits, creating good habits. And we looked at those basic principles. Natural principles, people, natural principles. You cannot change the steps of breaking a habit just because you live on the other side of the world. It's a natural principle. And guess what we saw in those natural principles? It's small steps. Oh, you can talk, you know, I need to change this and big, I need to change. You can talk that all you want. But if you want success, the statistics of defeating and creating the right habits is small steps, small connections, small ability, just constant, committed, I'm continually moving in a direction of success. And they're small. That's natural principle. It's spiritual truth too. But again, I always want to interject that we have God in us. So we don't have to wait 6 years to take algebra. We can get it quicker just by our own attitudes. Now, do you follow me on that? So we can learn quickly. We can get, you know, get to different grades quicker. It all depends on what you want to do and what you're believing. And are you putting it to work? And if you do that, it'll engage. It'll work. So walking in the Spirit is something where I'm trying to get you to understand it's not this super spiritual thing. It's pretty simple. It's getting God's word in you and doing it. That's walking in the Spirit. What's the natural way? Getting, if you're born here, English in you. If you're Mexico, getting Spanish in you. But you're not wanting to get them English or Spanish. You're wanting to speak to them information. How it comes out in what language doesn't matter. Information is being imparted into you. And as information is being imparted into you, you're receiving that information and you're growing in that information. You're very limited in peripatuo as a little child, but you are creating behaviors. The first through 4 years old are mandatory priority times of growth of making sure you're putting in good stuff. Because that's getting them set in a specific behavior before they even get into 5, 6, 7, and 8. So those, it's crucial that you put in the right support, make sure they understand the specific things that at their age are going to be valuable to them. Priority number one is unconditional love. Priority number two is get that spoiled nature out of them. Anyway. The point is we're growing in faith. And the scripture makes it very clear all through it. And it uses the terms of instruct, instructing, knowing, knowledge, understanding, perception. It's constantly using this hundreds and hundreds of times. Why? Because that's what we're doing. We're learning. That's why we have church. We gather together for this purpose. That's why I don't want it to look at like a church service. I want you to come in, and this is for your Monday. This is for you to be able to live the life on Monday that God designed you to live. Well, it can't be religious. It's got to be life, which Jesus gave out, life truths, life examples. So that's what we're following through, and that's what we're going to walk. But when you look at walking in the Spirit, it's literally being led by the word of God. That's what it is. If you look at John 6:63, this is Jesus speaking. It is the Spirit that gives you life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. What do you say? The words that I speak to you. So he's telling us if we want the spirit and the life, the Zoe life, God kind of life, it comes from his words. In John 16:13, it says this, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He's saying, I'm going to leave you guys, but the comforter, the Holy Spirit's going to come in the place of where I was. Once I leave, he's going to come, and then he's going to do what? Do his own thing? No. He's going to communicate truth, the word of God. The word of God is God, period. Jesus says, I am the truth. This is, I am. the Word became flesh. I mean, everything about it is lining up to this Word is how you get your life. Jesus said, men don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Word, truth. So if we're wanting to walk in the Spirit, it's actually, all right, here, I'll give you some props. I don't believe right now you are dealing with the lusts of the flesh. Y'all in church, you're sitting, listening to the Word, right? You made a decision to come here and receive, right? Okay. Not very enthusiastic, but you're sitting here. Let's put it that way. That's a good thing. Isn't that correct? Okay? You're walking in the Spirit. You walked in the Spirit. Why? Because walking in the Spirit, you got to look at it correctly. What is walking in the Spirit? I'm going to church. And I'm going to sit down. I'm going to receive the instruction from Pastor Dan because he's so awesome. I have to add that in there. Do you follow me on that? Okay, so this is what I do. I'm bringing it very simple and getting you to hear something that is very spiritual, but it's simple. You accomplished what God said, walk in the Spirit, and you do not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, some people didn't walk in the Spirit. They probably woke up and maybe went, yeah, I'm going to sleep in today. Well, God didn't say, if you don't feel like going today, the gathering, no problem. Sleep in. It's good for you. Now, if you were up all night working and everything and you just got home an hour before church, believe me, I'm not the type of guy that's going to sit there, well, you should go here or you're not even a believer. So there's all kinds of things. You could be on vacation right now. You could do whatever. The point is you know what I'm talking about when it's the lust of the flesh, don't you? Don't you? You did something Saturday night that you shouldn't be, and now you ain't coming to church Sunday morning. No one would ever do that, right? See what I'm saying? But what did you guys do? You walked in the Spirit. Bravo. Very special. You want? We're trying to look at the truth, right? Well, if I want to accomplish something I really don't have any understanding with, I'm going to align myself with someone that I believe does understand how. Correct? If you want to have success in life, that's what we do. That's a natural principle of learning. You started off when you first were able to go to school. Your mom or dad dropped you off at school. The people they don't even know. You don't even know these people. You don't know this lady or this guy. You know nothing about it. As a matter of fact, your parents never did this before. And they didn't say, you're going to go over to this person's house where all these kids are that you don't know, and you're going to spend all day there, 5 days a week. It's like, I went from, this is my house, and we live here, and we don't go anywhere else but this house. And if we do anything, it's in the front yard or the backyard. And sometimes special, we go to the neighbors. But it's right around this perimeter. And all of a sudden, mom drops you off at a place that you don't even know. People you don't even know. You know no one. And says, have a good day, honey. That's terrible. I'm just talking about my first day at school right now. It was horrible. But the thing is that's what happened, right? And we sat down at those little desks and they brought out crayons and they talked to us and started telling us, and we had to listen. We had to obey. I didn't know them. I don't know nothing about them. I didn't know nothing about their lives, nothing. It didn't matter. They knew more than I did. And as we grew up, we understood that to be able to go to the next level, you have to have next level information. Because if you go to the next level and you know more than them, you ain't growing. So how do you want to excel in life or be successful in jobs or whatever? You can stay the same like the majority of planet Earth. Majority will always be normal. Or you can determine, I want more, and what do you do? Stay the same? No, it's a natural principle, spiritual truth. You have to increase knowledge. And in the increasing of that knowledge, you're able to go to the next level. You guys follow me? That's natural principles of life. It's the same way all over the planet, from the beginning till today. So what does that mean? It means we, if we want to be able to be successful in this, we've got to get the Word of God in us and apply it. For me to go to the next level, I have to receive above me. It's life. It doesn't matter how gifted you are. Doesn't matter if you're all that. Doesn't matter. If you aren't receiving someone's information above you, you can't. You stay the same. So you have to receive. Everybody got that? Natural principle. So Jesus said, you know, he makes us say, your word is truth. The word of God is the key to walking in the Spirit. So now we can make it simple, all right? The specific things, you know, how we've talked about all, you know, through the years, things that you can do, things that you can accomplish. You can start reading and getting the word in you and spending time with God, which you all should be spending time with the Lord, period. But if you make it religious, then you departmentalize it. You start making 15-minute blocks of prayer. There's nowhere in Scripture that teaches that. Prayer is communication to a God that dwells in you. It shouldn't be set aside for 15 minutes. Now, the ability to create a habit when you've never done it before, that's a good thing to start, but you need to realize that that's a religious picture of prayer. You need to be able to talk to God all the time, anytime, wherever, period. And then you get that understanding of prayer isn't this one term in Scripture. It isn't even talked about in the New Testament as one way. It's talking about all kinds of prayer. What would that line up? Natural principle of communication. We don't have just one way of communicate and only talk this one way, and no matter if it's extreme or not extreme or sad or happy, we just don't talk this way all the time because that would sound terrible. I'd sound like an AI person calling me and if I want to buy something, right? There's no life to that. But if we communicate in our life, it's, hey, can you do that? Hey, get over there and do that. Stop. And everybody understands, same word being used, but how it's reflected, how it's communicated. That's terminology for prayer. There's different ways you communicate to the Father. You know, most people, prosukame is the most major term for prayer, and it's pretty much relationship, communication by relationship. It's close, it's intimate. And that prayer is what we communicate to God. But that word is never used in the position of believing for what God says belongs to you or a covenant of this is what I am shown in Scripture to stand for, to believe for, to expect, to receive. Well, prosokome isn't used. It's not used in that way. It's another word for prayer. Aiteo, which is command or demand. But see, if you're not taught that, you religiously pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be the name of the kingdom, come, thy will be done, and I need $5. I lived that journey, like a lot of people have, because I wasn't taught. But now once you understand that, you start realizing, wait a minute, then I need to learn. Exactly. See, God isn't going to, okay, I'm going to change my word for you. His word is true. It's unchangeable. Same yesterday, today, and forever. If you're praying wrong, that's on you. Quit blaming God, i.e. religion. That's how doctrines are created for denominations. They start believing things outside of what the Word of God is. They stand complete in focused of that. And from that point on, which creates a denomination of a belief system, is now unchangeable. So now everything has to bound or everything has to bow to that belief system, no matter what the scripture says, which is dangerous. Been there, done that. But I understand that the Word of God was never created for that purpose. It's created for babies to grow. Us, amen? It's created for us to receive this truth. If I agree or understand or have feelings about our opinions, it doesn't matter. It's what he taught. I didn't get to go to first grade or second grade or third grade and go, I don't feel that's right. What are they going to do? Well, my day, they're going to give you a SWAT. This day, they're going to bow to you and go, okay, we'll change it for you. You don't believe that, then your truth is your truth. It's pretty sick. Then that's not in a good way, all right? I don't know what people are using today. It doesn't matter. The point is the point. My desire or drive is to get us aligned with how can we overcome this area of where we're falling or where we're getting stumbles. We're getting a place where we're constantly dealing with the same things over and over. How can we win? Walk in the Spirit. Well, how do you do that? Do I sing while I'm walking? Do I pray? Am I always in the Holy Spirit? Am I speaking in tongues? And we bring this, all this stuff. No. I just receive the Word of God and I start obeying the Word of God. I got a problem with anger. Be angry, sin not. I got a problem with fear. The Bible says don't fear. And it has all these different things in there that if we start listening to it, maturing and growing to where overcoming, we're walking in the Spirit. It's a lifetime, not an end goal. You guys don't, you know, turn an age and all of a sudden, okay, I'm done. Let's leave now. You will live life on this earth for the period you're going to live life. Some of you that you want to live a longer life, you got to incorporate health and exercise, eating right. But we won't go on that one, right? The point is there's rules we have to engage with. Natural rules, spiritual rules, soulish, there's rules. But the basis, the foundation is the Word of God. When you understand the Word, you can deal with the other stuff. I mean, you look at Proverbs 13, is it Proverbs 13, 8? As a man thinketh, so is he. Is it 13? What is it? I thought it was 13. Or maybe it's not 13. I can't believe it just left my mind right now. Pastor Lyle usually knows all that. How come you guys don't know that? 23? Why am I thinking it's in the, what's in the third? Huh. 23:7. All right, 23:7. For as a man or woman thinks in their heart, for as a man or woman thinks in their heart, that's written in an active participle, means it's a continuous action. As you are thinking, as you're thinking or processing information, it says, so are you. As a person thinks in their heart on a consistent basis, so are they. What's interesting is even in this Hebrew language, the Hebrew word think is sha'ar, which is interesting because it's a gatekeeper. So here the Hebrew language is giving a picture of how you process thought. And you should process thought the same as a gatekeeper was to let what's supposed to be in, and to keep what's supposed to be out, sha'ar. As a man or woman, sha'ar, or gatekeeper over their thoughts. And doesn't New Testament teach us, take every thought captive, right? So it doesn't just say, get the thought and hold it. It says, to the obedience. So you're taking every thought captive, aligned with, does it line up with God's word? So what am I showing you? I'm just showing you scriptures aligned with what we're talking about, walking in the Spirit. So see, if I'm dealing with thought issues here, I need to understand that, what am I thinking? What am I allowing in, right? I mean, if I can go chapter 18, you look at chapter 18, 20-21, it says, a man or woman's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of their mouth. Isn't that interesting? That's talking about the soul, this the interior. The man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of their mouth. Now, what I say words are seeds. And fruit comes from seeds, right? Okay, so if you look at that scripture, all of a sudden, you're looking at this picture. I mean, that's pretty cool. I mean, it used the word satisfied. So that means desires are met, right? So I mean, that's pretty cool. So it's telling me that they're going to be satisfied from the fruit or the seeds of my words. Then it says this, from the produce of their lips, they shall be filled. And that word literally means overfull. It's not even complete, it's overrunning. So it's telling us a picture again where how I'm speaking and how you speak is tied to how you believe. Everything about your behavior, peripatuo, is what you've been living your life right now. What I love about this is that no matter how messed up or how good or whatever my life is, the Word of God is revealing to me that I can have better, and it's continually that way. Paul, really, one of the most amazing statements he makes in Philippians is he says this, I've not attained or come to a complete level of knowledge in what I know of God's word. That statement is almost like ridiculous. I mean, when you look at the New Testament and you even hear Peter say, what Paul teaches, I don't even get it. I mean, that's pretty powerful, right? But when Paul's making it, and he's not making a statement out of, you know, false humility, he's making a statement out of his heart. And so he says, I'm not attained. But this one thing I'm going to do is I'm not going to allow my past to interfere with my future. And I'm going to keep pressing on. So the walk of the Spirit is not you attain it, you live it. And you're going to find places where the lust of the flesh is affecting you and you're wanting answers. Well, the answer is you got to walk in the Spirit. But now we know it's not this spiritual wackiness or goofiness or anything like that. It's I need to get the Word of God in me to overcome this area. And the Word of God has every answer for every area that you're dealing with in life. I don't care what it is. The problem is we look at all the different offshoots, but ultimately when you go down to the root, it's going to be the same root problem. It's going to be pride. It's going to be love of money. There's going to be another area. Image is one of the biggest problems in a believer's life. They have a bad self-image. You have a bad self-image, it's difficult to receive anything from God. Because your image of yourself, you sabotage anything that is going to override that negative image. Because see, that negative image has been in you for years. And now God's bringing up this picture that is so, like, there's no connection to how you perceive life, but it's ultimate truth. And that's where the walk in the Spirit comes into play, where you have to say, well, that information is higher than what I have, and I need it. So you, by faith, it's always from first grade, second grade, I don't care what church or not, it's by faith you received. That's actually the picture of faith, right? It's not about you had to be proved or it had to be, it was taught to you and you received it. Before full understanding, by the way, that's a natural principle. You don't learn by full understanding. You get to full understanding. You learn by precept upon precept, here, there, little there. You build upon it. 1 + 1 = 2. You don't learn calculus in first grade. Is it math? Yes. But you don't. You have to grow to that level. It's all math. It's just different levels. But it's all understandable. We're good with that. So when we're talking about this right here, the design of God, what Jesus wants us to do is to walk in the Spirit. That's what he wants. He wants us to walk in the Spirit. He wants us to live in the Spirit. If you look at John 8:12, he says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me, this is interesting, he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. I mean, you could read that and go, psh. Because he's pretty much saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. Well, that means I'll walk in light. I'll have the light of life. So you can either read it in a condemning way or guilty way, or you can read it the way he wrote it or he spoke it. And what he was saying is you already got the light of light. The key to what you have is follow me. Now, the word follow me is, it's a common akalothoo. Akalothoo is walking the exact same path. So what Jesus is saying is if you walk the same direction, the same path I walk in, what was the comments that Jesus made about his ministry? I only hear, I only say what the Father does. It's amazing how religion separates the two. For years, I separated God and Jesus. For years. Because, see, I wasn't taught this. So, God, scary. Jesus, he's so cuddly. Right? God. Condemns him. Hurricanes, tornadoes, death, destruction, God, Jesus. He would never do none of that. Jesus, no. And for years, that's how I believed. But see, I didn't know the Father because I was taught religious opinion, not Bible. And then when you start realizing this, because I remember teaching this 30 years ago in our church, already knowing and understanding this truth, but I use it for, you know, the shock therapy for like to sometimes. And I remember the first time saying this, and how many people have the same view of God the same way they have Jesus? And no one would raise their hands because no one did. Jesus was a whole different picture than God. And then I went through the process of explaining to them Jesus' own words. If you see me, you see the Father. I only do, I'm Jesus, what I've done, how I live my life, everything about me is exactly the Father. And that's how I got the right view of God. That's how then I could go to the Father in a whole different light, because he's exactly who the Father is, Jesus. So my viewpoint is how good God is, how loving God is. When you see Jesus going up to people that the law and religion saying, kill him, kill him, kill him, Jesus is going, I'm not holding anything against you. All of a sudden you hear the Father saying that. And then you start changing how that is. And then you can know that for God so loved the world, he really did, that he gave his only begotten son, that it pleased the Father to bruise the son. You can start seeing the picture, and all of a sudden you don't have any negative look about God at all. None whatsoever. But again, that's what the word will reveal to you, which all of a sudden opens up your life to be able to keep receiving, to walk in the Spirit. Like I said, you're here, you walked in the Spirit. When you leave, hopefully it'll continue on, but you'll be challenged. But our position in life is to do what? Always remember that walking in the Spirit is hearing and doing the word. And as we do that, we're going to get the benefits of it. Let me give you 7 benefits, and you already know I'm not going to finish. But I get you going in the right direction, and then next week we'll do part 2 of this, okay? You okay with that? I said I'll be quick. I'm not going to go right away. I'm going to end when I'm going to end. So, number one, this is what the scripture teaches. You have victory over the flesh. That's Romans 8:13. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. The carnal nature does not produce life, it produces death. But if you live by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body and you will live. Remember on Thursday I said this. In Galatians chapter 5, it shows you that there's a warfare going on between your old nature and the new. The flesh, that's what it's called, the flesh or the old nature, and the Spirit. That you're born again. Your spirit is born again. They are contrary to one another. They're anti each other. That means they're at battle. They're at war. Who wins is who gets fed the most. That's who wins. It's not based upon, of course, the Spirit is got the full power, full understanding. It's everything about eternal life and your perfection there. But because it's in this body with this soul, there's the battle. And that's the thing that people have a difficulty with. You ever thought, why would I have, I mean, when the rapture comes, it says that we who remain, so you have those that are dead in Christ will rise, and then we who remain will be risen, but we get a new body. We don't keep the same one. Why is that? Because that old nature has to be changed into the new creation, complete new body. And that'll take place at that point of time. But it has to be changed. It has to be brought new. This old nature is still battling to be in charge. That's why it says, put off or take off the old, put on the new. It's all in the Greek language in a picture of you take off clothes. It's the same language. You take off clothes, you put the dirty clothes aside, and you put on fresh clothes. That's the same thing as if you want to change who you are, you have to put on the new image, new information, but you have to take off first. You always have to take off old first. Do you understand that? Natural principle of overcoming addictions and that, you'll take off old first. You can't say, I want to stop drink. I want to stop doing this. I want to stop doing that. Well, you have to first admit there's a problem with the issue at hand. I have a problem here. This problem I want defeated. I have a problem in this. That has to be communicated and removed. So you can't try to put clean clothes on a dirty problem. You acknowledge the problem, get it out of the way, put it off, then you start putting on the new information. That's pretty much all through the New Testament. So for us to be able to overcome, so we're walking in the Spirit, we go out there, there's going to be things that we already know we need to be walking in the Spirit in. Well, some of you already have the information, you just got to put it on. You've been keeping it in the closet too long, and you're starting to stink because you're wearing those dirty clothes way too long, right? And y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of you got some really raggy clothes. You need to get them off you and put on the new clothes. And once you start putting on, now you might be thinking, all right, how do putting on? Well, remember we even talk about spiritual warfare. I mean, the whole picture of spiritual warfare is putting on the whole armor of God. Well, we know because of teaching that putting on a piece of armor is putting on it's information. So if I want to protect this area, the mind, the brain, God focuses in on it and says, understand salvation. Understand salvation. Now, when you understand salvation, religiously, you think one thing, I'm going to heaven. That's not the Greek or the Hebrew of salvation. But we've religionized it too. It means, you know, fluffy clouds, angels with wings, and that's salvation. And it's not. It's deliverance, set free, healing, wholeness, eternity. It's all-inclusive term of awesomeness. And then when you start receiving instruction on salvation and you start, you know that you know that you know, the enemy can't rob you because you know the truth of the Word of God. What happened? You put a helmet on. It's a picture of a helmet. Then he goes on into righteousness, core of the organs, things that are vital to life, righteousness, identity. Do you see what I'm saying? So as you are building upon this information, you're able to have victory over the flesh. But what it says is that when you're walking in the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body. You're taking control of life. When Paul deals with the church in Rome, all the churches in Rome, the rhetorical questions that he gets are pretty amazing because he's communicating the grace of God in our personal lives that just go beyond what we could even imagine or think. But in that communication, he's getting people to understand that nothing can override grace. The blood of Jesus, what he did for you, you receiving that, nothing can overcome it. I don't care. There's nothing to overcome it. He even makes a statement that establishes the power of grace beyond any sin ever. And he says, wherever sin abounds, grace goes way beyond that. So there's an impossibility for sin to even be close, which is pretty interesting. So what they do is they come back with him. Well, then, you know, so we can get this grace abounding, let's just keep sinning. And then Paul goes, no. You guys, you lost track. You're not on track. You have to understand that what you allow in your life, you become servant to choices. And you're going to be a servant to that sin nature that you're free from, or you're going to walk in what you have in grace, the Spirit of God, walking in the Spirit. So the transition is you're getting information that's getting you to understand practical way of overcoming and winning in life. That's what we'll go through in steps of the benefits of walking in the Spirit, but ultimately, in a nutshell, it's what I'm talking about right now. And once you get this, once you understand this, the life, as far as when you look at context of Scripture, it's a life of peace, contentment. Oh gosh, I could get into some teaching there. Which, according to Scripture, is learned. People are waiting to get a life of contentment, and it's supposed to just happen, but Scripture says it's learned. Everything is about learning. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to learn correctly, and we're going to live correctly, right? And we're going to continue to walk in the Spirit because we know what it's about now. It's like faith. We're great at faith. It's just in the wrong way. So all we have to do is understand that. I remember years of being taught faith and going, how in the world could I ever do this? The moment I realized how it operates and start looking in the natural, I operate in faith, you operate in faith, and you're very good at it. You're great at it. You believe things that you don't see. You expect things, bad things that are going to happen when you don't know for sure, but you expect them to. That's faith. That's biblical faith. You're just using it the wrong way. Now flip that over to the area of the Word of God and start believing for good even if you don't see it. Start expecting good even though it's not normal. That's faith. You do it for the negative, let's do it for the positive. Do you see what I'm saying? So when it comes down to this whole picture of spiritualism, it's growing up in the Word of God. How many want to continue this growth on journey that we're all on? I want to. This is what I want, and I want to continue that way. And we're going to do, Love Life's going to do everything we can to continue to get information to you, the classes and everything we do to be able to help you in your walk of faith, walking in the Spirit. Father, we thank you for the Word. You're awesome. We love you greatly, and we're ready. We're wanting to grow. We don't want to stay the same. We want to continue to grow. So our will is to learn. Our will is to meditate on the Word of God. Our will is to continue to allow this Word just to penetrate the old life, the old ways. And recognize your truth overrides all truth. If I believe it or not, it doesn't matter. It's what did your word say? That is my truth. I will conform to that truth. The truth doesn't conform to me. It is ultimate truth. So, Father, I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you for transformation and change. And I thank you that we are not the same. And we will continue to grow. We'll continue to mature and continue to do the will of your word in our lives. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. All right, you all. Love you guys.